Hello and welcome to the Hansen Hour podcast, where we spend an hour or thereabouts deep diving into the band Hansen. I'm your host, Megan, and you can join in with me and a special guest each week as we talk about a range of Hansen-related topics. I'm so excited that you are here to join in on this, so grab a cuppa or a glass of red and settle in for an hour of fun. It's guaranteed to make you smile. Hello, welcome to the Hansen Hour. We are on episode 11, legs 11, and I'm so excited for this one because I have an Australian friend with me, and I don't often have Australian friends on with me, and we're very excited to talk to you about all things Hansen and Hansen 1997 and Hansen Australia. And Em, who is here with me today, Em Fuller, has lots and lots of Hansen experience that she is going to share with us all. So I'm going to get her to introduce herself and let her tell you a little bit about all the things that she has done since 97. So Em, take it away.
Well, thank you for having me, firstly. Yes, my name is Em, Emily. I've been called many names and I'm not fussed. I've been a Hansen fan since the OG days, since 1997. But I guess my experience, Megan told me her experience, and I think we have very different experiences in the early days especially. Hansen fan. I was based in Newcastle and I'm still based in Newcastle, and Newcastle doesn't really get like big acts regularly. So when Hansen came out, and I think I saw them for the first time on Video Hits or Rage or one of the two on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, they were just so far away and we were so young and they were just so inaccessible, and 12-year-old Emily would never have imagined that she could even see them in concert, let alone anything. So they were just this, you know, group of boys from a whole other world, and I'll never get to see them in concert, and that's just life. So I remember when they came to Australia for their promo stuff, and, 12 years old, Mum was like, don't even think about it. It's not a reality to go to Sydney or Melbourne for a bunch of boys in a band. So I watched from afar, bought all the copies of TV Hits and Smash Hits and Dolly and all the rest, and followed along in those. But remember it quite vividly. One of my favourite posters is them on the boat cruise on Sydney Harbour with the sun shining and them. That was that. They came and did that promo circuit, and then in the early 2000s I had a baby, so he was born in late 2002, so I missed a lot of the early the other, you know, underneath and all that kind of stuff. I had different priorities and was very busy, so didn't get to see Hansen when they came in those early years. And then they had the big gap, the 7-year gap between 2005 and 2012. And they kind of did drop off my radar a bit. Like, they were still my favorite band from when I was a kid, and my son, who's now 20, his middle name is Taylor. So they were still very much in my mind, but other priorities and stuff. So fast forward to 2012, I remember I saw on I think it was Facebook. I think Facebook might have been just like early days. If it wasn't Facebook, it was on the internet somewhere. And I remember seeing that Hansen were coming to Australia for the Shout It Out tour. And my sister and I were big fans back in the day. She was a big Zach fan. I was a big Taylor fan. And Yeah, so it was her birthday, and I was like, I'm going to buy her a ticket for her birthday. We'll go, you know, be like all nostalgia. We can remember about how we used to love Hanson. I remember I bought the Shout It Out album and listened to it because I thought, you know, it's the album too. Are they going to play some of those songs? I want to make sure I know what they're playing. And I remember listening to that CD on the way down to Sydney in the car, and we were like, oh, they still sound so great. Like, you know, their music's gotten even better. And then I remember we rocked up at Doors, and I remember being about halfway back in the Enmore Theatre and thinking, oh my God, we're so close. This is amazing. And then the minute they walked out on stage, I remember just being like, what is going on? And we were just like, we completely regressed back to our 12 and 9 year old selves, and we went mental, and we just thought it was fantastic. Anyway, so that was my first show. They came back again in 2014. I had just had my third son at that point, and I found out that they had the members only events. So we actually went to a Mo in 2014. We did like an early lineup. I think we got there about lunchtime. I think we were number 30 something in line, and I was like, this is amazing. We went, did the Mo, I think the second row for the Mo, and I was like, I cannot believe how close we are. Zach wasn't there, he was unwell.
I remember that. Sorry.
I'm chiming. Like brain dumping all of the things.
It's only significant, and I'm loving it, and this is going to be the best chat ever. It's significant because I just remember being so disappointed because that was on Anthem, I think, and I love Juliet. Heaps of my favourite songs are Zach Leeds off of Anthem and that tour, and he was unwell for the whole thing.
Yeah, he was
and
on local rest, so he was like, miming. He was mouthing along with him, like playing the drums, like really exaggeratedly mouthing along to the Yeah, he didn't go to the Mo, but we did get a beautiful like signed photo where they took a photo of like Zach with his mouth taped shut, and I think like Taylor had his hands on his eyes, and like or Isaac had his hands on his ears, like the you know eagle speak no eagle see no eagle. And they signed that, and they gave everyone a copy because Zach wasn't able to attend the Mo. So I was just like, that is so amazing. Like, how good are these guys? Like, he didn't turn up to the Mo, so they give us all a, like, individually signed photo that they took specifically for it. I was like, that's just unbelievable. But, yeah, so that was my second show. So 2014, two shows down. Fast forward a couple of years, and long story short, my husband wanted to go for his brother's 40th birthday to America. On a boys' trip, and I was like, hell no, you are not going to America for your brother's 40th birthday, don't be ridiculous. And then I went away, and I was like, hold on a second. Hanson do that thing in Jamaica. I've always thought that would be amazing to go to. Maybe I can, like, pitch this, like, if you can do this, maybe I can do this. And so I said it kind of just as a joking, like, thing, and my husband was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I went from two shows to, and I've never like traveled by myself anywhere, but I ended up finding a roommate on a Facebook group that I'd never met before and organizing to share a room with her in Jamaica, flying to Jamaica on the other side of the world to go to this Hanson destination concert event after being two shows. So it was a very, it went from 0 to 100 very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then from 2016, it kind of hasn't slowed down. It's been a really amazing, incredible spiral. I wouldn't change anything, but yeah, it's been a musical ride.
Ding, ding. I love that. So I want to talk to you, we will get to it because I want to go back to our middle of nowhere era, but you've just got back from Hanson Day this year. So I want to circle back to that. Mm-hmm. But for me, having someone on, from that 97 era that I can sort of just talk back and forth with about our memories is really meaningful for me. So thank you, like, for giving me this opportunity to just have someone to talk to and record it. And I think too, we've come using this podcast, we've seen how different our experiences were to those in America. And even now, I know you and I talked briefly, and again, we'll talk about it, to even the America, if you're, say if you are in America, like you get the Disney Epcot, you get closer to Jamaica, you're not having to sort of shell out as much, and I don't know, all this stuff that we'll get to. But for me, I talk also a lot about not having MTV, right? So in a lot of my interviews that people always reference MTV, I'm like, shut up. Like we didn't have MTV. Like, and it's not fair. And like, I'm super salty about it because I idolized American pop culture in the 80s and 90s. And I think that probably rings true for a lot of Australians our age because it was so cool. And, well,
we got to see it all like 4 weeks later.
Yes, yeah, that's right. It just it was so impressive. And we had Skippy the kangaroo, you know, not as impressive sort of things. But so we didn't have MTV. But what we did have, which you reminded me about, was Video Hits, and that was our version of MTV. So in my head, I was sort of thinking of MTV as like TRL or its own channel that had all these different things on it, where ultimately at the end of the day, it was a music video channel. Yeah. And we definitely had versions of that. And I have felt all these years like really annoyed that we didn't get the American, whatever America was getting, I wanted that. But we did have, in the some sense, something that was incredibly similar, just named something different. So I had forgotten like all about Video Hits. And of course, that's where we watched our Saturday morning. And I think it was even on a Sunday, maybe as well, at some point, video shows, and where we saw Hanson and Mbop and all the videos and stuff like that. The other thing that then reminded me of is Recovery.
Yes. Do you?
Yes. All right.
The infamous pool interview.
Exactly. Yes. So we, if I reference that pool interview, I'm sure people that didn't even know it was named Recovery will know what we're talking about. So it was Dylan Lewis was the host, and he interviewed Hanson in a pool, and they were like all like fully clothed, but totally wet. And that must have been on that 97 promo, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah.
It could only have been. Yeah. Yep.
I remember that was like.
They were tiny.
He was tiny. Like he was a baby.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So there was that sort of happened around that time that we had as well. So there was a couple of other things that I wanted to get your, like, you know, memories on. So the Melbourne promo tour, we've talked about, I went to the Westfield show, and then Sydney got, so I think it was just Melbourne and Sydney, and they did do a boat show, did they?
Yeah, they did on Sydney Harbour.
Yeah.
I actually have a copy of TV Hits from back in the day, and it's got their whole kind of like itinerary from that trip. And I'm just trying to quickly have a look to see if I can pull the date of when. Yeah, here we go. It was Friday, August 1st, 1997. That was also when they visited the Opera House and sang Mbop at the Opera House, which we saw in Tulsa, Tokyo in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, there was a TV hit. There was 70 lucky competition winners.
Yes, it was a competition. Yeah, okay.
And there was the Hanson Harbour Cruise. So, yeah, it was from 12:15 till 3 p.m.
Oh, this is the best. I'm so happy. Okay, so a couple things. If you were on that boat show and you won that competition, I need you to get in contact because you need to come on and talk about it. So I've always wondered, because I can't remember when I went to the big one here in Melbourne, That had to have been like
Well, that was
way
the
bigger than.
following day.
So it was on a Saturday, was it? That was my question.
Was Saturday, August 2nd.
So I, in my head, my mum let me have the day off school, but she didn't because it was a Saturday.
It was the
So, but she
Saturday.
definitely drove me.
So, and
So,
then
and
that
then that
evening,
evening,
they did
they
Hey
did
Hey
Hey
It's
Hey
Saturday.
Saturday. They did. I'd forgotten about that. See, that would be on YouTube too. Oh my God, they
It
did.
is.
The memory of getting your little VCR out and recording it.
Record.
Oh, and
And then
watching
writing a
it.
sticker on it said, "Do not tape over.
Don't tape
Very
over.
important."
Yeah. Or like there was that little tiny black square that you could sort of flick off or put a bit of sticky tape over the top to make sure no one taped over it. Oh, that's so interesting because I reached out to someone from a newspaper that Australians would be familiar with called The Age. I don't know. Yeah. And there was a reporter that did a whole story on it at the time, and I found her and messaged her and asked her if she wanted to come on the podcast to talk about it. And she said, to be honest, no. But she did give some extra information, and she said basically, again, I feel like the same as Paramus Park Mall. They were blindsided by how many people were going to show up. That was way bigger than Paramus Park Mall. Not to be like Melbourne is the best in the
So
world.
to quote TV Hits, so I don't know how accurate these numbers are, but it says that there were 20,000 fans, and during the crush, the surge, 48 kids were taken to hospital.
Yeah. Because that's what she talked about in, because I said, like, what was your experience? And she said, yeah, she won't come on, but she will say that when that all started happening, they got a call from the editor to go down. And she said she remembers getting a taxi and like running down there, seeing the kids get pulled out of the crush, having like ambulances there and stuff. And then she snapped a few photos, did a few interviews, and then went home. She said it was literally all over in like 20 minutes for her anyway. But that was supposed to be at what was Brash's at the time. It was a
Yes, and then they
in-store.
moved it to the car park slash what do they call car
And
park in
it
America?
was
Parking
hectic.
lot.
Yeah, God, it was good. God, it was like
I'm so jealous of everybody that tells me that they were there because I'm like, that would have been absolutely insane.
It was a moment. It was such a moment. All right, this is good. So there's something else then I want to touch base with you about that. Again, I feel really quite I'm just jealous. The Hanson Hotline. Because back then you didn't have like You could, I'm sure we couldn't call the number from our like home phones, or did you? I never called Hanson Hotline. I couldn't get the
I
area
never called
codes.
it, and I think it was probably more user failure, like not knowing country codes, area codes, all that kind of stuff, and being so young and not knowing anything about dialing internationally. I never called the Hanson hotline, no, and I was
No.
very that people could do that.
I feel the same, and because when I hear people in the States talk about the Hanson Hotline and how like instrumental it was in those early days, I feel so ripped off. I'm so like honest with my Australian friend here. But it was that's always been. I've always felt so sad that we never got the Hanson Hotline here. But
Do
we
you think they ever
used
really listened to it though?
Who Hanson?
Or do you think it was just Walker, like, or like Diana just being like, rewind the tape? Because from my understanding, I remember when I was in Tulsa just recently, I heard fans talking about it, how they would call, but it would get to a point where it was full and you couldn't like leave a message. So from my understanding, it was literally like an answering machine with a tape. And once it got to the end of the tape, that was it for the day.
Okay. Oh my gosh. See, I thought it was Oh my God, this is so funny. Have you seen that Simpsons episode where Lisa is in love with, like, I think his name's Corey, and she's in love with some celebrity, and she calls the hotline, and it's just his voice being like, "Hi." And she just listens to it and she falls asleep at the kitchen table. I thought it was that. I thought the Hanson hotline was them just like giving you where they were going to be or something
Well,
like that.
I think there was like a message. It was their
Okay.
voices, but then from my, 'cause like I said, I didn't call it, so I don't actually
No.
know. But from what they were saying, it sounded like you could actually leave a voice message
Oh,
for them.
wow. Gosh,
So
that's
maybe it
fun.
was an answering machine where they recorded the message saying, "Hi, you've called the Hanson Hotline. You know, we're doing X, Y, and Z this month.
Yes.
Please leave your message after the beep. Beep."
It could only be, I love you. It'd just be.
Can you imagine if they kept those tapes? Oh, Lord.
Oh, I reckon they would, though. I feel like I remember seeing an Instagram post of Taylor's so many years ago, and they had kept shoes and memorabilia, and I feel like one day they're going to pull so much out of the vault to put something together. That's my hope anyway.
I feel the same way. I feel like they also kind of really respect history and all the things that have happened to them. And I remember, I think it was in 2017. Yeah, it was 2017 at Hanson Day. They did a museum. And so they announced it was a thing you could go and view. And before it happened, we were kind of like talking about like what's going to be in this museum. And I was like, is Taylor's rat tail going to be there? Like, have they kept the rat tail? They're just going to pin it to the wall and be like, here is Taylor's rat tail from 1997. It wasn't there, which I was disappointed about.
Oh.
But they had a heap of like their outfits. So they had the outfits they wore in the This Time Around music video, like on like dummies.
Wow.
You see, like, you know, the denim jacket, and you know, like it was so, yeah. I and they had the pansy that's in. So you know, in the Mbop music video, when there's a shot of them actually playing their instruments in front of like a fabric pansy that's
Yeah.
behind them, so they had that fabric pansy on
Wow.
display. So if they've
Yeah.
kept that kind of stuff,
That's
like
amazing. Yeah.
they've kept, I think if there was like things that they thought were impressive or were like significant, there's a vault somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't wait for that to come out. I feel like at one point they've talked about how they would get it out, like in terms of a streaming service. And I really genuinely believe that like Netflix or something would pick it up if they were to put something together. I've got no doubt.
Well, I know there was an interview, I think it was only a few years ago, and I think they interviewed Steve Greenberg. I can't remember what magazine it was, but they talked about how Hanson had been approached to do a reality TV show, but they more wanted to focus on like how they've got, you know, 15 kids and like very much like the drama. And they were like, oh no, we don't like air our dirty laundry like to the public. If there's any drama, nobody sees it. But yeah, I 100% agree. I think there's a really great story there. We've seen it, you know, some of it in Strong Enough to Break. But even moving after that, like the things that they've done since, and yeah, a lot of the they touched on the early days in Strong Enough to Break. But I think yeah, there's a it's just waiting for the right person to come along
Yes,
and want to
that's
share
it. We so in the States around this time there was a guy called Paul Cubby Bryant who did the Paramus Park Mall thing that he was attached to the radio station, and it was Al that ran that, and he was our version of Ugly Phil. And Jackie O, right? Do you remember, right? So
Yep,
everyone listening in Australia that is from those original 97 days will know 10,000% Ugly Phil, who I have tried beyond belief to get on to this podcast, who's
wow.
completely ignoring me, but that's fine.
He's lost, and he's lost.
Thank you. That's right. Ugly Phil was also how we got our information, and through, I mean, was it Fox back then? I can't even think what the station was. Something that doesn't exist anymore.
I think it's Fox something.
But he, the other, I don't know if you,
I've just consulted the TV hits.
yes, what does the Bible say?
It said, so on Thursday, July 31st, from 5 till 7 p.m., it says the guys spend the rest of the day doing promo work for various radio stations. One of these gigs is with Ugly Phil at 2J FM.
Today FM, of course. Yes, Today FM, which still is in existence,
I
I'm
think it
pretty
is.
sure.
Yeah.
So there was, so they ran two competitions that I remember, but it was later on, and I wish, sometimes I just wish I had Katie from Hanson Stage in my pocket because I there's so much I need to reference continuously. And I feel like if she were here, she would be able to tell me. But there were two, so we must be fast forwarding a little bit, and I can't think of what, I can't think of where we are in the timeline. And as you guys know, that this timelining thing is really important to me. So there was a competition that Ugly Phil ran, and it wasn't the boat one that we've already talked about, but it was another one where you could win tickets for you and your family to go to New York and go to the Jingle Ball there, right? Which I've, funnily enough, been to when Britney Spears there. But you know how I could remedy this is to Google Jingle Bell Ball Hanson, and then we'll know what year it was.
Here it was.
So I entered that competition with my best friend at the time, and we sat in my bedroom waiting for them to announce the winners. And I've never forgot the anxiety because I was sure I was going to win. Like there was no doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to win. And I remember the unfortunate thing is that I had been eating beetroot dip. You know, like we'd made ourselves like a little platter, and I was like beetroot dipping and all the stuff. And I was so anxious, I vomited
Oh no.
everywhere, all over my bedroom, and I didn't win. And my bedroom was covered in beetroot vomit. Because I was so worked up, like I was so anxious about it. So if you won that, then I also want to speak to you. If whoever if is listening that won the that particular competition, I would really love to hear how that went. It was, oh, it was 97. There you go. So I
Like,
knew it was early on. Katie, I hope she's not kissing and being like, you're wrong. It wasn't 97, but I think that it was. So there was that as well as another early memory for me of you know, fun hands and things. The other one I remember, which again came later, was a Fox rooftop session here in Melbourne, and I did, not me, but my friend, and I'm sure that I bullied her into ensuring that it was me that she took. We went to a Fox rooftop thing, and again, it must have been earlier, but and this is, yes, okay, I'm just gonna say it. I, at that moment, decided to take up smoking. Because on the rooftop, you could have access to a different area if you, like, this was back
oh
wherever it was. Whenever it was, when like you, I mean, nowadays, I don't know what it's like anywhere else in the world, but here, like, you really can't smoke. Like, no one smokes anymore, and you really can't smoke cigarettes anywhere. But back then, you could. And I
There was
remember
a special area.
going, yes, going to a very special area because I needed to smoke a cigarette, and the security was fine with that because I was a smoker. And I went out to this little area on my own, like fake smoking a cigarette, but really doing it, but not. And there was a glass panel on the side, and behind said glass panel were Hanson and Walker. And Walker, I remember just feeling the shame
I was going to
because
say,
they,
he probably judged you hard
oh,
for
he did.
standing up
I
there smoking.
know he did.
It's
And
a
I just
very,
want to say, I'm not
very
really a
strong.
smoker.
Look, I'm just
I'm
doing
not, I didn't, you know,
that. I'm just pretending, Walker.
I
I'm just
was.
pretending to get access to this special area to see your sons through a
Yeah.
glass
Through a glass
wall.
panel, but it was such a highlight. God, I loved it. And I waved and they waved. And in my head, I was like, I'm sure I'm so shamed, but at the same time, like secretly hoping that they thought I was really cool because there was a girl smoking. But I Walker still had a little like a VHS analog camera.
He carried that
Yeah,
camera.
he's
A lot of the footage from TTMON
was from that.
was from him, I think.
So he still had that. So
He
that must
probably
have
got you
again.
smoking.
Oh no. Yes. Oh gosh. That. So thinking about that, it could still. It must have been around 2000 if we're still on an analog VHS handheld digicam.
Well, they did. I think they did come back in 2000, didn't they? They did. What did they do in 2000? I swear they were back here in 2000 doing
Yeah,
promo.
I feel. Did you ever go through a silver chair phase?
So I'm from Newcastle,
Oh
so
my
Silver Chair
God!
are a Newcastle band. They're like
Of course. How did I not put that together?
they're
I'm a bit jealous of that too. A little bit of Meriwether Daniel Johns love.
Yeah, so one of my friends lives in Meriwether. Like, if you go to the local Coles, you can often run into him. Like, he's still
Oh
around.
gosh, Daniel. I feel for him now. I feel like he didn't take the fame too well, and I feel bad for him. But
Yeah.
I did go through a phase where I did drop off. I definitely switched to another long-haired blonde man in Daniel Johns.
It was an easy switch.
So was. All right. Well, that's about all of my memories that I wanted to just, shoot the breeze with you around. Is there anything you wanted to add for that particular moment in time that I've missed or that was important to you?
Yeah,
Yeah, so
so like I
like I
said,
said,
I yeah
yeah,
was
was very,
very, very
very
much
much
removed
removed
from
from
I
I
think
think
the
the
physical
physical
stuff.
stuff.
Like, I
Like, I
didn't
didn't
go
go
to
to
any
any
of
of
it.
it.
I
I
just
just
watched
watched
in the magazines that came out weeks after the fact. I know that Andrew G, aka Osher,
Osher, yep.
was very active back then,
On
and with
recovery,
TV.
was he on recovery?
He was on Channel V.
V,
Yeah.
right.
So I know that that was when Osher met Scott Hanson back in, I think that was in the 2000 promo stuff, when he was quite active. And yeah, he still flies the Hanson flag whenever he can, these days. Yeah, no, it was all just very much me watching from afar back then, and just being like, oh, if only. Blah,
Yeah.
blah.
But now you're a full-fledged world Hanson traveler, and we wanted to talk a little bit about I suppose your how you travel, because I do think that for us hardcore Hanson fans, I know for me I have been to see them in the States just on small tours, in the early 2000s. That was before I had kids and a mortgage. No, I lie, I rent, but it's the same thing. But I have never been to a Hanson Day or a
Back to the island.
Back to the Island or anything like that. No sort of special shows. And I do think that it is really, really tricky for people in Australia to sort of do that. So tell us a little bit about how you manage to do it and your tips and tricks, and understanding that it is tricky for you too, of course. It's not like,
Firstly, I want to say I am envious of you because on my bucket list is to go and do some of an American tour. Like, I love the idea of like, following the bus, like traveling city to city. Because like when they tour in Australia, like there's no bus. It's
Oh,
they're
that's
flying
right.
from city to city. So I love the concept of like, hiring a car and doing like an American road trip, like chasing the Hanson bus to each Hanson show. Like, so that is definitely on my bucket list. So the fact that you did some of those like,
Thank
early
you.
Hanson tours, I was like, oh, that
I
makes
think
me.
a lot of Americans too might not realize if you haven't been here to do tours before, which I know heaps of people have. And I don't know why we're just talking about America. Like anyone from any country outside of Australia, when you come here, it's different to the way that the American tour runs. Like Em was saying, in the way that there is no bus. So again, you have that. You don't have that opportunity to hang out at the bus or do that fun tour bus find, or see Taylor pulled over on the side of the road with his banged up bus and tired. There isn't any of that because our country is so big. You have to fly to each different place. So it is again a really different tour.
The logistics are very different in Australia. Like, yeah, we are a very large country, and they might do, six or seven, like six cities or something, or five cities, but they're not drivable distances like
And it's
Hanson drives.
expensive flights and hotels to get. So just to fly to, so you'd be like, oh, it's only six shows. Like that should be doable. Every time they come, I'm like, I'm doing all the cities, I'm doing all the things. But then because the flight distance is so long, it's not like you're going from somewhere in the States that's a very short distance. Our flight distance is so long, flights are so expensive. And timeline wise, just getting around everywhere, it's very, very different to the American tours.
It's a totally different thing. Like I remember when Hanson announced their Roots and Rock and Roll tour, where they did like the two nights in each city, and they did like a night of covers and then a night of Hanson songs. And I remember seeing online, like American fans being like, oh my God, they're not coming to, because it was like a, it was a smaller tour than they normally did. There was limited cities, and I remember someone said something about that there was only like one city in California that was getting like the two shows, and I was like, we're not getting this tour at all, and you're complaining about only being one city in your state. Like, it's a whole different ball game. And yeah, it is, there's so many more logistics involved in an Australian tour because we are such a large country, and the cities are so far dispersed. Like, they're all just around the coast basically. But yeah, when it comes to traveling, I am really lucky that I, on my first trip to the island, when I went by myself and found a roomie in one of the Facebook groups for Back to the Island, a lovely girl called Tracy, shout out to Tracy. I stayed in a room with her, and I met a lot of fans that I'm still friends with today at that first island experience. But the most random thing that happened, and probably the best thing that's ever happened in regards to like my Hanson kind of journey, is I remember there was an event at Back to the Island 2016. It was they played Hancyclopedia on stage. Isaac ran it. He was on stage with Paul McDonald, I think it was, and they were kind of like pulling cards out and reading out questions from Hancyclopedia, and we were all playing along in the crowd. But occasionally they would pull out a fan out of the crowd and get them up on stage to answer a question against Isaac. And if they won, they won like points in the store or whatever. Anyway, a girl walked up and she had the I Am a Hancyclopedia green t-shirt on. And she went up on stage and Isaac was like, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? And she said, my name's Helen. I'm from Sydney, Australia. And I was like, oh, she's an Aussie. Go,
Helen.
Go, Helen. And anyway, I think she got a question right, and you know, they did a big high five moment. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, yeah, go Australia. And anyway, I think either later that day or the following day, there was a show, as what happens at Back to the Island. And I remember hearing an accent and going, there's an Australian near me. And I remember turning to my left, and it was this girl that was up on stage. And I was like, oh, you're the Australian, and you're on stage before. And she's like, yeah. Like, oh, that's so exciting. Like, obviously I'm from Australia too. And like, yeah, my experience with Hanson, my sister was like the only fan I knew up until 2012. And then like, I, you know, obviously saw that they had fans still in 2012 when I went to the show, but I hadn't really like made any connections in the fandom. So I was just really excited to run into this girl in Jamaica of all places, that was from my country. And then we got talking and I was like, oh, so you're from Sydney. I remember you saying that on stage. And she's like, I was like born in Sydney, but I don't live there anymore. I just say that I'm from Sydney because everyone knows where Sydney is. She's like, I'm actually from Newcastle. Like, I live in Newcastle. And I was like, get out of town.
Wow.
I live in Newcastle too. Like, what the heck? We need to be best friends. And I remember the first thing I said to her, which is hilarious because we do it. I said, we can split shipping on Hanson.net.
True.
Whenever we want to buy merch, we can just like get it shipped to Newcastle and split it. But yeah, so I met Helen on the beach in Jamaica in 2016. And then there was a couple of other random people that were from Australia that were like, oh, my friend also lives in Newcastle. We should like connect you guys. There's like quite a few Hanson fans in Newcastle, and we were like, what is going on? Because as far as Helen knew and as far as I knew, we were the only Hanson fans that lived in Newcastle. And like, Newcastle, for people outside of Australia, it's not a capital city in Australia, but it's like, I think it's the largest non-capital city in Australia. So it's like, it's quite,
yeah,
it's quite big. But we didn't know anyone. So I met Helen, and then there was this like rumors of this, you know, there's this other fan in Newcastle, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, we ended up getting put into a group chat on Facebook Messenger. And it was like, there was about six or seven Newcastle fans. And we were like, okay, well, we need to like meet up. We need to catch up. And I remember there was another person in this group called Sam, and she was quite active in the chat. And we were like, yeah, we need to catch up. And anyway, after a lot of backing and forthing, and Sam went away overseas, and then she came back, and we ended up catching up, Helen, Sam, and myself, and another Newcastle fan called Beck. Shout out to Beck. And we were like, okay, it's us. We're Newcastle Hanson fans. And so back to, I've digressed. doing what Hanson do and just going off on a tangent when they're asked a very simple question. So yeah, what the best thing that ever happened was meeting those girls, because we found our people, and then that enables you to share costs.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, if you're traveling, yeah, you have to pay for an airfare each, but if you can split a hotel by three or four, you are absolving a lot of the cost. So that is probably my biggest tip, is try to find friends that also want to do traveling with you, because that definitely helps, helps to make it easier. And yeah, I'm not denying the fact that, you know, to get time off work if you work, or to, you know, get time away from your kids if you've got kids, to get the time away from life, it is difficult. But we really prioritize like getting that time to A, get together. And I think that's also like kind of overtaken the whole Hanson thing at this point, is we just love spending time together and hanging out together and just being able to kind of like leave all our problems at the, you know, problems at the door. We get to kind of escape and revert back to our like teenage selves and just be, yeah, dancing, yeah, carrying on like lunatic with each other. And then, yeah, we get to see a couple of Hanson shows along the way. What a bonus.
Yeah. So do you ever take your kids, or would you ever consider? I feel like one of the reasons I haven't done Back to the Island, apart from monetary things, is that I don't really want to leave. I like to travel. I love traveling, and I love traveling with my kids, and I would love for them to be there with me. Yeah. And I've always felt like I wish that there was that option. Do you know what I mean?
So I've got three sons, and they range from the ages of 20 down to 9. 20-year-old, he went to his first concert ever this year. He's just not into it. My 9-year-old is not good with crowds or like quite loud sounds. So he's going to go to his first concert later. Next year, but he's never been. But my 9-year-old, third time lucky, I finally got someone who like wants to go to concerts and
into it.
So when Hanson announced their RGB tour last year, he would have been 8 at the time, and he was like, I want to go. And I'm like, okay, like,
because Sydney was all ages, wasn't it?
Sydney was all ages, yeah. So problem was is that I was doing the whole tour. So it was like, okay, how is this working logistically with like getting him to me, being that I was going to be going from, I think, Perth to Sydney, I think is the way that it was routed all over the shop in last year. And so I think I was flying from Perth into Sydney, and then I was like, how do I get him from Newcastle to Sydney, which is about a 2-hour drive. So I said to my husband, I was like, Dan, you got to be the MVP, take one for the team. I said, will you please bring Ollie to the Hanson show? I was in Sydney. Dan drove up with Ollie from Sydney. I got them seated tickets because he's quite a small kid. Like, he's only little. And I was like, I don't know how it'd go. Standing, he probably wouldn't be able to see anything unless he was up close.
And safety,
So I was like, you do us a solid, we'll get you seated tickets. 12-year-old was not, well, he's 11 at the time, he was like, no, I'm not interested. So Dan brought Ollie down. They did the Enmore show. Ollie, he fell asleep. He fell asleep in the show. I was like, oh God, we need to train you up, kid. You need to go through some serious training.
Yeah.
He did enjoy it, and Dan enjoyed it. And it wasn't Dan's first Hanson concert. So my husband traveled over to Tulsa in 2019. So Helen, Sam and I went to Tulsa for Hanson Day in 2019.
Yeah.
And so as much as Helen, Sam and I are now friends, our husbands are also now friends.
Yeah.
And are quite into like the craft beer scene, and at this time Hop Jam was happening. So Sam's husband, my husband, and Helen's husband and another one of their friends all traveled to Tulsa to go to Hop Jam. And Hanson were headlining Hop Jam that year. So that was
fun.
So Dan got to see the whole Hanson kind of show, and he got to meet Taylor, which was a total like,
oh no, I know,
two worlds colliding. Mm-hmm. We were like Main Street of Tulsa, like right near 3CG,
yeah.
And our husbands are like shaking hands with Taylor Hanson. And we're like, going on?
I'm not the only one that's cut my husband out of a Mo picture, right? Because it's just not right. Like, he's standing next to me with Taylor on the other side. I just snipped him right out. Can I just say too, another really frustrating thing, which I believe to be true, we need Katie, but we don't even get the beer here. And that's, and again, like, I feel like I'm in a whinging era this episode, but I want to try their beer, and we don't get it here, and that's always been
sore point.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been something we've asked them multiple times, and it's to do with like importation and like, yeah, we've definitely asked them multiple times whether or not they'll ever import hops into Australia, and it was very much a, oh, we'd love to, but there's just things that need to happen, and we haven't been able to make that happen. Have you tried hops? I've tried hops. He also tried I think it was the Festive Ale that they brought out in 2019. They were both nice. There was one in particular, though. So in 2017, my first ever Hanson Day, Helen, Sam, and I went to Tulsa. Helen had arrived the day before, but Sam and I flew in together. And we literally got to the airport in Tulsa. We had a friend called Megan. Shout out to Megan. She's an American fan who picked us up from the airport. And she drove us directly to a bar, like straight from the airport. We had all of our bags there in Megan's car. We like quickly like did a quick change in the airport bathroom, tried to like freshen ourselves up and make us look half alive after the 15-hour flight to Dallas and then to Tulsa or whatever. We went to a bar called McNally's, and Hanson were doing a beer launch of the cool. It was the Red Ale. And they were all going to be there. And we was like, yeah, like it was just perfect timing. So we flew in, we drove directly to this bar. We went to, it was our first time ever in Tulsa. And we went to this bar and shared drinks with the two of the three Hanson brothers. I like wasn't drinking the beer. But at that point in time, Taylor actually hinted about String Theory.
Oh, wow.
And he was very excited. And he was like, you can't tell anyone. So we, like, did not tell anyone. Like,
we kept the secret.
He was talking about Sydney Opera House, how it was, like, a venue that they very much wanted to play. But, yeah, we're drinking this beer, and we did not like the beer. But we didn't tell them that. We were like, this beer's nice. And I remember one of my friends actually tipped the beer down the sink because you got to keep the glass.
Oh my god!
So we got to keep the glasses, but yeah, the red ale was not our favorite, but the like hops very drinkable. The festive ale was delicious. So that is my take, and yes, it is a crying shame that we have never been able to get in Australia because
I think so too. Yeah. So I'm just looking at the timer, and I do always try and keep to an hour, being that that's what I call the show. But we wanted to have a little bit of a chat about where I'm up to with unpacking a song off the Middle of Nowhere album, and we are up to Look at You.
Yes.
So we've just, in the last couple of minutes, let's briefly have a chat about it. I'll start, shall I?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm not overly sold on this song. I've said before that Speechless and Look at You are some of my skip songs from this album, and they were both co-written by Stephen Laroney, who by all accounts, everyone that I interview from the industry name drops Stephen Laroney and says how incredible, how amazing, how awesome he is. I 100% believe it. I'm sure he's very incredible. For me, it just doesn't land. Those two songs don't land for me. I feel like there's almost, I've been listening to it this week. I feel like it's almost a little bit there's something lazy about it. Like I can't match up the rhythm to the lyrics. I don't know, this or the way that he sort of is talking, his voice, there's something about it that I just can't, that just doesn't gel, that I can't fit. So that's me. But also I do want to add, listening back to this album, and I live for Taylor's voice on Middle of Nowhere, the husk, like that original husk that he had at that age, is because Zach Leeds are my favorite now, but Taylor back on Middle of Nowhere, his voice is so incredible. I just want to add that.
So it's quite funny, actually. I remember when you said I want to unpack a song, and I was like, what song are we doing? Like I have a couple of like favorites, and you were like, oh, actually we're up to like Look at You. I was like, oh, lol. It's like my friends and I have like a joke about Look at You, because yes, agreed, it's different to a lot of the rest of the album, and I feel like for their ages and a lot of the other themes in the other songs, it just kind of is a bit doesn't really match, and it's all like, it's school dance, but it's also like they didn't go to school, like they were homeschooled.
Yes,
like they're not going to school discos, like doing the Nutbush.
No, they're not. And we are thinking it's like a disco situation, right?
That's what the lyrics read as. Like, but yeah, like almost like it's almost too grown up as well.
Yeah,
like it's like a little bit like more grown up than the ages that they were when Middle of Nowhere was being written. So my friends and I joke, and it's very much a joke, that maybe like Walker wrote it for them.
For some reason I was going to say something, it's something about Walker. Oh my gosh.
So we've touched on Walker earlier. He's a lovely man. We are Walker's biggest fans. We've met him a couple of times, and he is so lovely and so generous with his time, and will happily chat your ear off about, you know, whatever topic you want to cover. But we've got this joke, yeah, that like Look at You is just, yeah, it's too grown up, and we were like maybe Walker wrote it. But we know he didn't, but it's just our joke. And when you brought up Look at You, I was like, haha, that's hilarious. I need to tell you this joke, and I haven't told you this until now.
So. No. Oh my goodness, it is.
Were Walker and Diana at college, and there was like some sort of like dance situation, and like wrote this song about that. I don't know.
No, it's cute, actually. That's really cute, and it lands for me randomly. Like we know that it's not true, but yes, I totally understand what you're saying, and that actually lands for me a little bit more, because they're talking about, you know, what is it like with the move of her hips and all this sort of stuff. And it is, I mean, like, it's fine, whatever, but there is something about it that just doesn't seem to fit. So can I wrap this up with asking you your all-time favorite Hanson era?
My all-time favorite Hanson era, as much as I love the nostalgia of 97, I think my favorite Hanson era, as in like sound and whole aesthetic, etc., probably Shout It Out.
Yeah.
But the first ever Hanson song I heard live was Waiting for This. And because, yeah, it was the first tour that I saw a show on. Like, I have a lot of core memories from, you know, Shout It Out songs. And that album cover with the three of them on the white background, like, it's just iconic. And I think it was just a really different sound as well, like with all the brass and yeah, I think Shout It Out's probably, and it's underrated as well. A lot of people aren't big on Shout It Out, and yeah, I don't know if it's because it's quite different to everything else, but yeah,
you know, I was at Shout It Out at the Enmore, which is weird. Yeah, how funny is that? But I, yeah, there was a, bal- there like was a balcony,
right, but I missed it.
Yeah, I didn't go to that. I missed that too. Or did I? No, I missed that too. I think, yeah, I think we did. I do, gosh, I remember that. But yeah, there was a balcony that I remember standing up on because it was quite full, that show. So we've got one more for you. Best ever concert experience.
I've probably got two, and I'll be quick. Australian wise, Sydney Opera House String Theory. The second night when they did the encore and did the Bee Gees' Too Much Heaven, that was incredible. And a special moment, my mum came to that show.
Oh,
I
wow.
bought my mum a ticket to the show, but I bought her ticket separate to ours. So Helen, Sam, and I got second row Sydney Opera House in the pre-sale for fan club. And then I spoke to my mum and I was like, if you want to come to a show, like she always said, oh, when's it my turn? And then when they did String Theory and it was seated, I was like, well, you should
Yeah.
come to this one. So I caught, like, it was like, yep. And she's like, yeah, I'll go. So when I went for the general on sale to buy her ticket, there was one ticket in the front row right in front of us. So my mum had front row Hanson Sydney Opera House as her first and potentially ever like Hanson show. And she was like, I've got a better ticket than you. And I'm like, you're welcome. So
That's incredible.
that was amazing. I got to share it with her and she loved it. And then a very close second, and this is very recently, Hanson Day, they did the 20-year anniversary underneath acoustic. So Kane's Ballroom, they set up a very low stage on the floor of Kane's, and it was advertised as in the round. It wasn't completely in the round, but it was on all three sides, like three sides. And we lined up all day and we got front row and we were sitting directly in front of Zach's drum kit, and my hearing is still damaged. But it was so close, and so like the way it was set up, we were sitting, like there was a seated show, and when I was sitting in the chair, you couldn't cross your leg over the other leg without kicking the stage. Like I could literally rest my feet on the stage in front of Zach's kit. So it was, yeah, it was amazing. It was so close, and we were just like, this is probably never gonna happen again.
That's incredible. That is really awesome.
It
I
was
can
really
appreciate
special,
that.
and we were just kind of looking at each other, going, "What
Wow.
the hell is going on?" Like, they're right there, and we're getting to hear. Like, I think I got three new songs that day that I'd never heard. It was, yeah, it was really, really special.
So when you say you lined up all day, because we were talking before this hit record too, that you lined up for most of the RGB tour. Talk me through that as someone who is so jealous of everyone that gets front row, but also knows that I am just like that for that RGB tour. I was like staying at the very expensive Grand Hotel, like across the road, and I just was like not leaving my very expensive hotel
I mean, you have to make a decision, right? You have to make a decision as to
Exactly.
which way you're going. You're either getting a nice hotel and you're living it up and you're turning up at doors, or you're getting like the closest hotel to the venue you can find because you want to be able to quickly run back and change before the show because you've been on the street since dawn.
So how, like, is it really from, I swear I saw tents for RGB. Were you in a
So
tent?
RGB in Australia was probably the most intense that I've experienced. That was like the first time where we've done overnights consistently. I think that, yeah, I think Perth was the early, like the latest we lined up, but earliest. I think then it was like midnight or something, or 1 a.m. or
So
2 a.m. or
you
something.
get there at 2 a.m. in the morning. You get at the venue at 2 a.m. and then do you really sleep or do you just sit in your tent like, oh my God, I hope I'm
Kind of takes shifts. So because like for safety and so there's always somebody kind of keeping lookout, we kind of take shifts of getting a little shut eye. But yeah, it's insane. Like I would not do it for anybody else, and I wouldn't do it alone, and I would and like we do kind of make sure that there's going to be a group of us and we know the area and and, you know, make sure there's going to be shelter and lighting. And like, I've never felt unsafe doing it. Never felt like I was putting myself in danger. Like, there's definitely places that I wouldn't do it, and I didn't do it in Tulsa because I just don't know the area so well, and you know, there's added dangers and all that kind of stuff. So we didn't do any like sleeping out the whole night. We went very early in the morning.
But
Like,
what, so you still got front row for that underneath. What's early? Because I'm just considering like whether it's for me or not, to be honest.
for in Tulsa, I think the climate's changed a lot in regards to who's lining up at what time. In 2017, people were camping out. Like, there was multiple tents. There was lots of people camping out. I feel like everyone's kind of relaxing a little bit now because we were getting there at like 6, 7 a.m. and being maybe there was like another group of people in front of us, another couple in front of us, but we were very like, I think we were like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 or something in line. And yeah, it wasn't, there was not nowhere near as many campers as there has been in previous years. So I don't know if it's just that people are just, we're all just getting too old. Too old for it. And yeah, the people in front of us were international fans as well.
Are you allowed to go toilet, or do you
Yes.
literally have to sit there?
No, you're allowed to, you're like everyone, so everyone's real and everyone's really chill as well. I feel like it's chilled out a lot in the last couple of years in that, yeah, we're all getting too old for it. And everyone's, you know, as long as you are there for a majority of the time, if you need to go to the bathroom or if you want to go and get changed or whatever, like it's fine. There's it's not like, oh, you left for 5 minutes, you lose your spot. It's yeah,
And
everyone's pleased.
people are really mean, Em.
No, I know. I have come across those, but I feel like the longer we go into this whole thing, the more of the mean people kind of fade away. And yeah, in the last couple of years, I've only come up against kindness, not meanness. I think
Love that. Let's
tastes too
finish on
much
that
energy
note.
to be mean, so they, you know, they all drop off and
That's right. Everyone be kind. All right. I have loved this. It has been really what's the word? Like self-fulfilling, and I don't apologize for that because I wanted a podcast where I an episode where I really, got into what was important to me. It's all important to me, but I'm also trying to deep dive for everyone. But this has been really nice to, be able to have this moment. So thank you for sharing it with me.
thank you for having me. Hopefully you all get to see each other in person at a go sooner rather than later. We did ask them in Tulsa when they were planning on coming back to Australia, and the answer was unexpected.
What?
They are coming back sooner than
Oh,
we potentially thought.
drop it on this
Because we were like,
podcast.
oh, you're not going to come back without a new album. Like, why would you come back without a new album? And there was a mention that they may have been in talks to do maybe something like they're doing with Busted within Australia. And I was like, who? What band is like getting back together? I was like, a Silverchair getting back together. And
Did
you
you say
go,
that?
Silverchair. I do.
Do you reckon
I
they know
do.
who Silverchair is? Because that would be my weird collided moment.
So they do know who Silverchair are, and we were like, do you know that they're from our hometown? And they were like, oh, we didn't know that. It's not Silverchair, but we were like, but I reckon, if anything, this is all complete speculation. Like, Isaac was like, oh, we'd love to come back next year, but it might be the year after, so maybe 2025. But he didn't rule out coming without a new album. So that may happen, but my speculation, my thoughts are maybe there is like, you know how they do those like R&B Fridays, or like there could be a 90s one, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Maybe
thinking
there's a 90s
too.
one that they're going to be on the bill for, and
Like a
like,
90s, like tour or
and they
something
bring
like.
back like, yeah, like the Venga Boys and S Club 7 and 5. And fingers crossed, Australian fans, they'll be back on our shores sooner than we expected.
Yes. Well, thank you for that nice intel.
You watch. They won't come back for like 10 years and they'll be like, that Emily, she gave us false hope.
No, I believe you. I'm going to go Google what's coming up now.
Pure speculation and, yeah, just a very offhanded comment that was probably just like them trying to.
Whose offhanded comment was it? Because if it was Taylor, I'm almost there. If it was Zach, I'm not overly convinced it was Zach. I can tell by your face it was. Tell me.
It wasn't Zach, okay. But I'm not going to confirm it was. We didn't really catch much time with Zach in Tulsa, so he eluded us. I'm very mad. I got my red, green, blue vinyl signed by Taylor and Isaac, and I miss Zach. So I'm like, am I destined to have to carry around this vinyl that is like a boxed vinyl, so it's like the size of a pizza box? Now I'm like, why did I get that signed? Because now I'm missing a signature. Yep. And I'm gonna have to carry around this with me until I'm old and gray.
Yeah, until you find him. My what? So again, and this is it, because we're seriously going now, but this is a semi-funny story, but maybe not. My daughter has the same issue. She has Isaac and Taylor's signatures, and she was waiting to get Zach's signature at the Melbourne RGB second night. So you were probably there. Tell me if you remember this. There was a fan who was very excited and was hovering around probably a little bit too close and started becoming a little bit erratic and really wanting a photo with Zach. And Zach said some profanities. which my daughter was very confused about, and then proceeded to like throw his hands up in the air and pretty much be like F everyone and just walked off and slammed the door. And there was a collective because everyone missed out after that. He lost his shit. Now I'm gonna have to put a little explicit
time. Walked away at this point because it was Isaac's birthday, so we were like all about the birthday boy. We were like, we want to get a picture with Isaac. We had green shirts on, we had green like heart glasses on, we gave him a pair of heart glasses and he got a photo of this. And then him and Taylor went into the van, and then we kind of, it was really crazy. We were like, let's get out of here. Like, we've got what we came after, which was the photo with Isaac on his birthday in his shirt. So we started walking away at that point. So that's when we must have missed that.
Because they had gone in. So Zach was the last one. And of course, Ezra was there that day as well. And there were a lot of people, and it was a crowd. And, Ezra's little face and he dipped in quite quickly, or Taylor got him in quite quickly, and then that the others were hanging around. But Zach, you know, sometimes he's having a bad day, and this was a bad day for him. So my daughter is also missing a signature, so you have that in common.
Yes, I know there's a lot of people that are carrying around random CD sleeves that have just got one signature missing, and they might take 10 years to get them, but
you'll get them. Yeah.
Where there's more, there's a way.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I'm going to push stop, but don't hang up. I say this to everyone at the end of them all, because sometimes people just hang up and it's like the end, and then I have to email them and be like, listen, thanks for coming on. All right, I'll talk to you next.